With the Mag Lab, you folks have been very involved in a joint project here with WFSU called the SciGirls program, which is essentially what?
The SciGirls program is a two-week summer camp, but it's even more than the two-week summer camp. For those listeners who aren't aware, STEM fields, which are science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, are fields where women are still underrepresented. Some disciplines are doing better than others. Biology is about 50% women, and that's great. That's the same as the population. But in other fields like engineering, computer science is one that has actually declined in terms of the number of the percentage of women that are part of that field. So SciGirls is a program that reaches girls at the middle school age, and that is an age where girls tend to lose interest. Research has shown that they begin to lose interest in STEM fields, and this is there's a variety of causes, but some of it is the idea that it's not cool. Some of it is the idea that those are fields for boys or men. And SciGirls is really an opportunity for girls at this age to meet role models, particularly female role models in a variety of disciplines and fields, and see that there's a lot of opportunity out there for women to get involved in. And we usually have more scientists volunteer than we have space for, so we end up doing more activities throughout the year, and we usually have a panel at the end to talk to the girls and their parents. And WFSU also helps with communicating the science and communicating the activities, so the girls see that you can be a good scientist, but if you can't communicate it, then you're at a loss. Nobody knows about it. So that partnership has been incredibly strong, and I think has benefited our community. We're 10 years strong and plan to continue. And I know you have one of our past SciGirls that's going to be calling in today. And she is an undergraduate student in engineering. And it's just fantastic to see these 12-year-olds now as adults and what they're doing for science and for Tallahassee.
A fabulous lead-in to the introduction for Lucy Toman, former SciGirl. She's joining us by phone from Chicago, where she is, of all things, doing a summer internship with the Society of Women Engineers. Now, Lucy's going to be a junior at U of F in the fall. Take that, Katie Swatowski. There she's studying industrial and systems engineering, and Lucy took part in SciGirls during the summers of 2007-2008, graduated from Leon High in 2013, and joins us by phone right now. Hi, Lucy. Hey, Lucy. And make sure that we're all interconnected and hooked in and ready to go there, Sawyer. You know, when we say science, technology, math, and engineering, sometimes we have to do the same thing when it comes to interfacing our technical aspects here at WFSU. While Sawyer gets that thing underway, again, we're going to be joined momentarily by Haley, who is the executive director of the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, who will be talking about also a program that they have coming up in just a little bit tomorrow, I believe, and we'll be adding that to our discussion as we go. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, great to hear from you. How's the weather in Chicago today?
You know, it's actually pretty nice. It's pretty sunny out. I think it was 75 when I was coming to work today. It's not as humid as it is in Florida, which is always a plus.
I can't imagine such a thing. Well, Lucy, talk about your experience being a SciGirl there back in the summer of 2007 and 2008. What got you into the program?
Well, I think that I had a teacher in second grade who kind of sparked my interest in science and math, and she was just a very spunky woman and kind of showed me that science could be cool, and it could be really cool if you were particularly a woman. And so I think that kind of that early on interest in science really helped. And then when I found out what SciGirls was and kind of what the two-week camp was about, I really wanted to get involved, and I'm really glad that I did, because I think that it has, like Roxanne was saying a little bit ago, it's that age is critical to getting girls involved and then keeping them involved in science. And so I think the fact that I was able to have that second grade exposure to kind of spark the interest, and then SciGirls, the two-week camp, and then I did it for 2 years, I think that it kind of just like reassured my wanting to be involved in some form of science as I go on throughout my career. So I'm really glad that I was able to be a part of such a great camp.
Now, you're doing a summer internship with the Society of Women Engineers up there in Chicago. Did the SciGirls experience really put you in a good position to be able to interface with that internship?
Yes, I think that it. I think that SciGirls definitely kind of opens your mind to all of the things that women can do in science. I think that most people, most kids know like what a doctor does or what a teacher does because you're around those people on a daily basis. And I think with SciGirls, it kind of opens your eyes to what an engineer does or what a biologist does and the different things. Not every career in science is in a lab. You can work behind a desk. You can be in the field. There are many different options. And so I think that participating in SciGirls kind of gave me a leg up on knowing what I could do as far as science goes in the future. And actually this summer what I'm working on is a lot of getting young girls, the kind of K through 12th grade age range, interested in science and keeping that interest throughout college kind of thing. So I definitely think that SciGirls helped with that process of then coming here this summer.
And you're passing it along by being a mentor then too.
Yes, I think that mentors, I didn't really know the extent of mentor, like the help that mentors could give until college is when I really figured that out. But mentors are very, very valuable in figuring out what you want to do maybe in your career, maybe more importantly, what you don't want to do. And so I think that, yes, being able to kind of help others is definitely something that I really enjoy, and I'm glad that I get to do that.
And Erica McKibben, that is so important there, that whole modeling type of thing, that this is possible. Look what is being done by this person over here.
Absolutely. And, you know, our program runs 10 weeks, and we match. So over those 10 weeks, our girls learn life skills to find out who they are, what they want to be. They learn how to interact with others as a team. And at the end, they learn how to successfully complete a 5K. Some of the girls come to us not interested in running, but how we connect girls, and we really are creating a community of girls that believes in each other, that recognizes the uniqueness in everyone and celebrates that. And it is amazing. Our 5Ks are amazing. And you were talking about mentorship. The girl connection is one. That team is so strong by the end of those 10 weeks. Our 5K finish lines are like no other because our girls, a typical 5K, you're trying to be first, right? There's a time. We're untimed 5Ks. What our girls do is it's about everybody finishing. It is keep moving forward, find your happy pace. When that first girl crosses the finish line, she's not done. She runs back and she goes to get that her other teammates to help run them in and to pass on that spirit of it is possible. Beyond that, you know, over those 10 weeks, our girls find coaches and running buddies that support them to be successful in the program, not only on the race course, but in life.
Girl empowerment, that's what we're talking about here on Perspectives. And your input is welcome, too, at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. I guess we could say one of the touchstones or one of the mottos of today's show could be, don't tell me I can't. Because we're talking about empowerment of girls and young women here today on Perspectives with a phenomenal panel. We just heard from Lucy Toman, former SciGirl, now interning with the Society of Women Engineers up in Chicago and going to be a junior at University of Florida in the fall, industrial and systems engineering study. Also, Roxanne Hughes, director of the National High Magnetic Field Lab Center for Integrating Research and Learning. Erica McKibben, executive director of Girls on the run of the Big Bend. And we are now joined by Haley Cutler, Executive Director of the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. It is so good to see you, Haley.
So good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Well, for those folks who don't know what the Oasis Center for Women and Girls is, let's talk about that first, okay? Let's get that done.
Sure, absolutely. So the Oasis Center for Women and Girls is our local community's community center for women and girls. And so our mission is improving the lives of women and girls through celebration and support. And we provide a variety of services and resources to help women and girls thrive at every stage of life and really achieve their greatest dreams and vision. And so some of that is social services type stuff, and some of that is real leadership programs and leadership work, both in-house and in the community.
I think maybe some folks might even say, boy, we went through the whole, dare I use the term, women's liberation, but I'm old enough, I can say that, where we saw an entire move over a period of probably a couple generations from the, the 1950s, mom stayed home with the kids and dad went to work and all, and suddenly possibilities opened up for women in the 60s and 70s. And we saw more of a equal participation in all facets of the economy and society on the part of women, and the possibilities seemed endless. And yet something has seemed to reverse in recent years, to the point where now we see a large number of young women in the current generation almost slipping back into the role that, oh, I must build my entire life around a guy, or I am not complete. And it, you know, an emphasis on how you look and all that sort of thing. Is that true? Have we seen a reversal? Or is the pendulum just kind of swinging? Roxanne, what do you think?
I don't know if we've seen a reversal. I think when you look at the women's lib movement, and we could, this could be a whole separate series of shows, but there were – it was really middle-class white women that the women's lib movement was for. And you still have this issue of – part of feminism is being able to choose. If your choice is to, you know, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, that's, we want to empower you to do that. That's still being empowered. But I think part of it is we're seeing a lot more, and there's a lot more diversity among women and what women and girls want. And when I first came here in 2005, there was a New York Times article about Ivy League women who were graduating from some of the best schools in the nation, and they were talking about how they really wanted to stay home when they had a family and they were going to step out of the workforce. And I had an opinion about that. But it was funny to me because that's what drove my dissertation and my research, particularly on women in science. But just last week, there was another New York Times article saying the same thing. It was a whole other generation of college-age women. And then there's this idea of there's so much that goes on with gender. There's so much that goes on with having a family. And part of this comes up in a lot in the STEM research that I look at, is if you step out of the workforce and you raise that family and then you try to get back in, you're 5 years behind. And that 5 years behind is the difference between, you know, whether it's the promotion or whether it's the or whether it's just making as much as the male colleague that didn't step out of the workforce. And there's this idea of cultural shifts that need to happen where we're supporting. So instead of – and many – organizations are doing this, but not just maternity leave, but paternity leave, family leave, because as a culture, we need to support both husbands and fathers might want to be doing some of these things and staying with their parents. And we've put this onus on men to not be able to do that in our culture. So there's issues that happen that are affecting that. But I think at this point in time, it's so hard. That cultural shift, I don't have the answer for that. It's hard to say, don't worry about what the magazines are telling you. Don't worry about body image. Like, it's going to be fine. It's almost harder now because you have cyberbullying. You have Twitter, Facebook, all of these places where you can escape the ideas of what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to look like? And that, to me, is one of the things that has been hardest for me to witness with friends that have girls or boys even, just that it's taken – you used to be able to go home and escape some of these things, and now we're dealing with the pressures of society all the time.
Yeah, and Lucy Toman, you're right in the middle of it as going into junior year at U of F. What are you seeing?
Well, I think that there definitely is some kind – not a – stigma, I would say, but there definitely is a kind of this maybe thought that in college you're getting this degree, but there is a lot of my friends do have conversations about that. Will I take the time off to have the family, or will I try and continue working while I'm doing the family, but then is that going to create a hard balance and that kind of thing? And so I think for me, I think that it's something that I would want to be able to do both, because I do really enjoy working and what I've done so far, especially in my science career. And so I think that finding that balance is what's really important, and not being afraid to fail, which I guess is the kind of tagline for today for sure. And so kind of making sure that you're making the decisions that are going to be best for you and that will make you the most happy in your kind of life as you go forward.
That's great. Haley Keller, what do you think?
Yeah, I really love the way Lucy said that about it's both about finding the balance but also making your own choice. And I think that Roxanne made a really good point when she talked about there are things that organizations can do to make that easier for women and to support women in that. And there are a lot of women-friendly workplace policies, many of which are family-friendly workplace policies that on a local level, I think that we can really move the needle on and really see some local businesses take leadership on that on a national stage. I hope that we start to see a real push towards that because it is sort of sad that this day and age, we're still putting women in that position of choosing one or the other. And if that's a choice that a woman wants to make, that's fine. But we have to acknowledge if she's making that choice in light of societal pressures that pit one against the other. And we really can change the work culture to be inclusive and supportive of women. And when you were talking about sort of progress that we've made since the 70s, we have to acknowledge that we have made a lot of progress, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And one of the really cool things about this event that's coming up on August 8th is that the film features these amazing trailblazing women nationwide who have done things often where very few women have been before, which is super closely linked to the work that we do with local trailblazers during Women's History Month. So it's something we're very passionate about. And the reality is that there's still all of these areas in which women are still trailblazing because women are still so underrepresented. And the way that we change that is having and elevating those visible women leaders so that the next generation of young women have those role models to look up to. You guys were talking about role models before. It's always easier to do what you can see. And so really having the visibility of those women role models is critical, but also recognizing that we don't just want one woman at the boardroom table. One is not enough. And so we do need to be working towards critical mass where women are adequately represented, not more than men, but adequately represented proportional to our population. If we make up a little more than 50% of the population, it's really sad when so few of national CEOs, and even if we're talking local, when you really think about our local larger businesses, many of them are, and in fact, most are run by men. So I think that there's still room to go.
Okay.
And I would say, let's take this down to a really basic level. It starts in a girl's, in a woman's mind. Through our program, Girls on the Run, we talk about the girl box. And that is created, that box that girls or women put themselves is created by societal influences. We had already talked about that through TV, online, the people that we know, the parents, our upbringing, our experiences. But you know what? It's also what's in our own heads, what we tell ourselves, what we choose to believe, and how we let others define us. And what we really try to do is have girls explore that girl box. And I think that empowerment is about a belief in yourself and the potential that you have and not letting others stop you. Through our program, what we talk to our girls is about the positive cord. I think a lot of times, you guys can see the visual, you plug in the positive cord, and that's what we tell our girls to do, because negativity is so toxic, and that if we can create a community, a society, whether it's at home, at school, in the workplace, those simple things, can you think of how much change you can have in that girl's life and how that ripples to so many other challenges we have in society. We work and operate sometimes on I'm better than you. I have to be first. Or comparatively, I need to see you fail so I can succeed, which is not okay and is not a healthy place for anyone to operate from.
Yeah, because there's, I guess, a perception that women are nurturing, are collaborative, are all of these positive things. And indeed, those are elements that are very often missing from workplaces and organizations and that kind of thing. But there's also a degree of competitiveness, sometimes I don't want to call it unnatural, but a synthetic competitiveness between women that sometimes doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Haley?
Well, and it's interesting because – and I know Eric – all of the programs here do serve, you know, populations of girls, middle school, high school age, some elementary. What we see with our Girl Circle program, which goes into middle schools and high schools primarily, is that really at that by that middle school level, society is already starting to pit girls against one another. So it happens long before they make it into the workplace. And what we see when we're working with groups of middle school girls with the purpose of building their self-esteem, building their self-efficacy, and building positive relationships between them is that they're starting to fight with each other, and they're starting to fight with each other about boys because they're getting the message that their worth is based on how attractive they are to boys. And they're starting to have conflict largely about communication, but that really comes from this competitive place of I need to my way of having meaning is to be better than or more popular than this other girl. And they start to – a lot of those societal things, race, class, religion, start to really pull girls apart at that age. And it's not because it's inherent in girls. It's because society is constantly barraging them with messages that this is where your worth and value comes from. And so really, like Erica said, helping girls find their inner voice and their authentic selves, and through a series of in our Girl Circle program activities that are about them finding their authenticity and their individuality, but also learning to embrace the diversity of the girls around them and really building those positive relationships with which all of these programs do. Research has shown time and time again is a factor for resiliency that will help girls be successful and grow up into women who really accomplish their dreams without tearing each other down.
414-1234, four perspectives talking about women and girl empowerment. And we're going to talk about a very specific event that's coming up a week from Saturday that is along that line. A reminder that you can always find perspectives online at WFSU.org. You just go to WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click perspectives, because we archive past shows and try to have the latest program up within a couple of 3 hours of when it actually airs. So we all can go back and hear ourselves today. In just a little bit. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Haley Cutler with the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, Erica McKibben of Girls on the Run at the Big Bend, Roxanne Hughes, director of the MagLab Center for Integrating Research and Learning, and Lucy Toman, former SciGirl and a phenomenal summer intern with the Society of Women Engineers up there in Chicago. And you're invited to join the conversation, too. Back to the event that's coming up on the 8th at the MagLab that's going to include not only a movie but a panel discussion. Roxanne, what's it all about?
So the movie will feature 9 women who, as Haley said, are trailblazers in their field. And one of them is the original founder of Girls on the Run. So this is something there's an engineer. I think there's a mathematician, entrepreneur. So that's going to be really, really cool and amazing. And then we have a panel. And thus far, we have Linda Figg from Figg Engineering, who will be on our panel. We have Kim Rivers, who is an entrepreneur in town. And we have Judge Nina Ashanafi Richardson. And we're reaching out to a couple others as well. But The goal of this is to introduce girls and parents to women who have had that question, and the question of what would you do if you weren't afraid to fail, and how they overcame that. Because most people in life are going to have obstacles, and if you can overcome those obstacles, I think that is part of the empowerment. I think Girls on the Run is a really good example of that, in that you give them this task of a 5K, which might seem really, really hard or difficult or not able to happen, you know, or getting a PhD in a field, or with Lucy, you know, majoring in engineering. And these will have many obstacles as well. But if you can get girls to accomplish those, each time they do that, that's empowering. That's telling them that I can do this. I can overcome, whether it's the negative comments in my mind or the negative attitudes from society, and I can do this. And as Haley was saying, introducing them to role models and potential mentors, these are all opportunities of meeting people and asking questions. And that's usually one of the things that comes up. Girls will be able to do that at the Empowerment Project on Saturday. But girls and women can do this all the time. PsyGirls, one of the main things that comes up every year for the panel when they're asked what advice would you give to middle school girls is to ask questions. Don't be afraid to contact someone, even if it is Neil deGrasse Tyson. Don't be afraid, because you might get a response. You might get a response from that person who you've put on this pedestal. And that is such an amazing opportunity, as Lucy was saying, with the mentoring. Getting that response back from someone that you held in such high esteem is another notch of, I feel empowered. I was important enough to get feedback from that individual. And just introducing more than just our PsyGirls to that idea. I know Haley does that with the circles as well, but this idea of I have worth, my ideas matter, and people are acknowledging those ideas, and we're working together. And for a plug, I brought books. Haley had mentioned this idea of, and Girls on the Run also does this. Rachel Simmons has published a number of books, The Hidden Culture of Aggression in Girls, and this idea of society kind of creates this awful period of girls kind of tearing each other down. And any programs that we can do to see girls working together and not tearing each other down because over a boy or whatever else is out there, they see that. They see that on TV. These are popular television shows where this kind of stuff happens. So anything that we can do to empower them to work with each other and to benefit from each other's experiences and knowledge, I think is a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, overcoming that whole mean girl syndrome. Yes. That just seems to be so pervasive.
Yeah.
You know, in some places. 4141234 Perspectives, Female Empowerment, and an event that's coming up a week from Saturday at the Mag Lab is going to be focusing on that. More on that to come. And, of course, you're part of the conversation as well. If it's long distance, 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Perspectives. A week from this Saturday, August 8th, Girls Empowerment Day takes place in Tallahassee, and we have a great panel talking about that. Haley Cutler, Erica McCribben, Roxanne Hughes, and Lucy Toman joining us here on Perspectives, along with your calls at 414-1234. And before we do anything else, let's go to one of those calls there. George awaits on line two. Hi, George. Thanks for calling.
Women in the medical field. I know most of the physicians that I deal with that I'm proud to say are women, and they are very sensitive to me. I particularly mention Kristen Harmon, who was an endocrinologist in town, and Amanda Scherer, who is my primary care physicians, and you go to these guys, you can talk to them about anything, and you know, they know, they try to understand where you're coming from, and you know, it's something that you didn't see a number of years ago.
Well, that's true, although I will say this, George, the doctor that brought me into the world was a woman. So, of course, that was back in the days when you didn't need health insurance and you could pay off your medical bill with a chicken. But I see what you mean there, and also in the legal professions. I know we have a number of very prominent barristers in this town who are women as well, and we have a number of folks in the governmental realm being where we are. But still, you were saying that, Haley Cutler, that there still is not an equivalency there.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest that I don't know the exact statistics for the medical field, but certainly, you know, you mentioned government or political office. I can tell you that women are still underrepresented. And even in the legal fields, you see a lot of women lawyers graduating from law school, but they're not necessarily making it up the ranks to partner at the same rate as their male counterparts. So it's one of those things where, yes, every single day we're seeing more and more women in the workforce and in those fields. And I think that that's wonderful progress. And just anything that we can do to think about not just their presence in the field, but also their presence at the top in real decision-making and policy-making roles is also really critical, because when they're in those roles, they make it easier for other women to come up along the ranks.
Lucy Toman is an engineering student there and entering – Linda Figg notwithstanding, who is one of the most outstanding engineers in the country, and bridges designed in Tallahassee are now part of the architecture all over the planet. Some of the most beautiful structures in the world are being designed right here in our own hometown by Linda Figg's organization, Figg Engineering. But Lucy, for you, what do you see as ongoing obstacles to more young women getting involved in not only engineering, but also the other STEM fields, the science and technology and math?
Right. Well, I think that one of the biggest things that I notice is kind of what we've been talking about, is this, that in the society that we live in today, there is kind of this idea that women can't do as much or what maybe a male counterpart could do. And so I think that one of the biggest obstacles is for young women and even older women, women in college and beyond, to realize that they can and they're just as good and sometimes even better. And realizing that you can do whatever you put your mind to and kind of, but that's a really big obstacle to overcome. I know that for me, that's definitely something that I still have to remind myself of as I'm going through college or with any internship or a job, is just that you are, as a woman, you are strong and capable and independent, and you can do whatever you put your mind to. And so getting over that obstacle of kind of like mind over matter almost, I think is one of the biggest things that I have found to be a large kind of obstacle to overcome.
And is that internal? Or is that internalizing something that is external? You've been told so long and so often that, oh, no, you wouldn't be interested in this, or this isn't something you'd probably like, that you kind of take that on and that becomes the way you look at the world. Was that it for you, Lucy, or how did that work?
Yes. I guess that might be what it is. Yes, that's a good way to look at it. I think that maybe with the pop culture that is around us and kind of what – I believe someone said it before, of like doing what you see and that kind of thing. I think maybe that as I was young, it was kind of shown to me that there are maybe more men in the science or engineering fields. And so then kind of as a child observing, that was something that I saw. But then being able to then internalize that and kind of come back with, well, I could do that. I definitely could take and pass all of my physics classes, and I could build bridges, and I could be a doctor, and that kind of thing. So yes, it probably, I would say for me, it was something that I saw on the outside and then internalized. But then I've made the choice to kind of say that even though that might be kind of the societal norm, I'm going to try and change that and prove to people that women can do engineering and science and technology and computer programming and things like that.
There's an element of bravery involved in all of this, too, in stepping outside of those categories. Even if it's even if no one on the outside is stopping you, you've still got yourself going, no, maybe I better not.
Maybe. Right, yes. And I think that's also part of that obstacle of that you do have to be brave. You have to be willing to be your own person and to be comfortable in your own skin. And that for, and I think for girls, is a very hard thing to do. And so being able to do that and kind of maybe step out of your comfort zone at some times is really important. And I think that it's so important and girls need to do it because what's on the other side and what can come out at the other end is really, really great.
Let's go back to the phones. Kelly awaits on line two. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to Perspectives. Oh, Kelly had to drop off here. But we're talking PACE Center for Girls. That's another resource that is available here in the community. And for your organization, Haley, you've got something even coming up tomorrow. This is in advance of the happening on the 8th of August. You guys are doing something at Oasis, right?
Yeah, and to give Kelly a shout-out from PACE, PACE is also one of the partner organizations working with us on the Empowerment Project. So sorry that we missed her, but we're very glad to be working with them as a resource in the community. So tomorrow – so we've got two things going on. We've got the Empowerment Project that we hope everyone's going to make it to on Saturday, August 8th at the Mag Lab. It's going to be super fun and amazing for girls of all ages, the perfect back-to-school event. Tomorrow, Friday, July 31st, we are super excited and hope folks will join us at the Oasis Center for Women and Girls. Our center is located downtown, right kind of kitty corner to St. John's Episcopal Church. And we're in the middle of our Girls Can Do Anything summer camp, so very much in aligned with what we're talking about here. And the whole summer is focused on helping girls figure out exactly who they want to be and what they want to do in the world in a bold way. And this week's theme is Girls Mean Business, and it's been really profound. So we have girls between the ages of 5 and 15. And they have spent all week with various women business leaders learning about what it takes to start and run a business. And so they, starting on Monday, selected what kind of business they wanted to run and have already done all kinds of things related to putting together a business plan, designing a logo, starting production. And they are launching tomorrow as a one-time enterprise, Oasis Sweets and Treats. And members of the public can come by and for just a couple of dollars get cupcakes and brownies and dog treats the girls are baking and lemonade. But the big thing is about helping them take something from a vision to a reality. And we need the public to help us with help them practice their sales and customer service skills. And what's so cool is, you know, they're really learning some of these lifelong things, not just with my finding my own voice and who I am and what's important to me and I can do this, but also skills related to money management, saving, spending, giving. And part of this project is a philanthropy project. When you earn, it's also about giving back. And so the girls have selected their own charity of choice, the Leon County Humane Society. 50% of the net proceeds from their sale tomorrow will go to the Humane Society, and the other 50% will be split up amongst the girls evenly for them to practice their new money management skills in spending and saving. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that many members of the public will come and bring a couple dollars from noon to 1:30 at the Oasis Center tomorrow.
Well, we are rejoined by Kelly from PACE Center, who is back. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for giving us a ring back.
Of course. I just wanted to make a comment. PACE Center for Girls is one of the partners for this event, and I wanted to make sure that part of the conversation really acknowledges the roles that racism and poverty play in providing barriers between girls, really, first, even recognizing that they can achieve things, and then secondly, actually being able to achieve things. We work with a lot of girls where the idea of being a judge or being an engineer are so far outside of their realm of comprehension that we also need to make sure that we're also looking really closer for them in role models, women who are doing things that even are considered traditionally female occupations are not seen as possible for a lot of the girls that we work for. So I think looking at education, looking at things that the girls can do is really important. But mostly my comment is really around, I think we have to be honest and talk about racism, and we have to talk about poverty, because the barriers for white girls into achieving positive outcomes can be very, very different for black girls.
And that's a wonderful point as well of how do you take someone who does not believe that anything outside of their immediate experience, which is whether it's race or poverty or anything else, so constricted and so limited. The number of people you actually have interactions with for some of these kids is this teeny tiny circle. I mean, immediate family and a few friends, neighbors, that's it. And say there is a whole other world out there that could be opened up to you. How do you do that?
I think that's what PACE is really skilled at doing and probably does better than anybody in the community. Our job really is to intervene in the girls' generational cycles. A lot of our girls have seen things generationally around expectations of poverty, expectation of child rearing, sort of the expectation of the role that they play secondary to men. They've been so socialized that feminism hasn't even made a dent in the way that they perceive their futures. And so I think what we do really well is bring them sort of outside of those experiences and place them in a whole new environment with a whole new set of expectations and standards. And so the way that I like to explain it is for a lot of our girls, they don't even identify any other door to their future other than the one they came through to get to us. And so our entire job is to start opening doors and reducing barriers. And honestly, one of the reasons or one of the ways that you do that the best is by saying those things out loud. Racism exists in our communities. And for black girls, they are the least visible of any girl in the community. And I could give you 100 examples of why this community doesn't see them. But in the time that I've been at PACE, I've become more and more alarmed at how invisible black girls are to the conversation. So you're right. It's very hard to do, but I think the real key is to be honest and to say it out loud and what it means for them and so therefore what it means for us as a community.
And with all this being said, what we've been discussing today, I believe that people should not misconstrue and think that somehow girl empowerment takes away from boys. And I have heard that too from some people who probably should know better that, you know, well, if you're raising women up, you're diminishing the contribution of men. And it's not about that at all. Right, Roxanne?
Yeah, I think that part of this I've had push back, you know, for Psy Girls, like, why isn't there a Psy Boys? And people who are aware are usually respond with, Psy Boys exists every day, you know. But I think there's part of our community, by empowering girls, you're not saying that boys are lesser. You're just saying that we deserve the same equality and the same voice. And I don't know that boys consciously realize if they are diminishing girls or if that comes more from society. But I think society would be a better place if girls felt just as empowered. And I think that that would improve, you know, across – it would just improve in terms of decision-making, things that happen in our community and across the nation. So I think that if that's – I think it's good that you raised the point. This is not to misconstrue, like, we welcome boys at the event as well, you know, because they should see that there's, you know, empowered women aren't scary. They're, you know, there's a lot that can be done and big changes can be made if we all have the same voice and the same rights.
Yeah, and because it's a healthier thing where you have more of a, again, the collaboration instead of the, well, I'm up here and you're down there and that kind of thing. So really, we need some education for the guys too,
yeah.
I think, don't we?
Well, and this event on the August 8th is open to the general public. We're really encouraging, as Roxanne already mentioned, that families come together. If there are different organizations like the Girl Scouts or PACE or OASIS that have groups of girls that they are trying to infuse this positive message that anything is possible and helping expose them that there are others in the community that can help them, we want them to come. This is not just only for girls or only for women. It takes an entire community. A neat thing about this event beyond the film and the conversation is that we will have an empowerment zone. And in that zone, there will be different girl-serving organizations where girls can find out how to plug in, whether it's with Girls on the Run and getting involved in our fall registration, which will be open August 1st, or through opportunities through SciGirls or Oasis Center for Girls, at Women and Girls. So I think that this is not just about a film. It really is creating a culture of caring that supports girls and creates opportunities to connect and have those caring adults in girls' lives, and also having girls see other girls as part of their support system.
Just a few moments in today's perspectives. Lucy Toman, before we cut you loose up there, because we know you're busy with the Society of Women Engineers in Chicago. Well, you're coming back to the U of F in the fall for junior year. What do you hope to accomplish? What is your dream?
Well, you know, I think that I still have a couple years left at UF, and so I think my hope is that I graduate. I will graduate from UF, and then I'm really interested in humanitarian logistics, which is the organization and efficiency of people related to industrial engineering. So as of right now, I would really like to work with a nonprofit, maybe with the Red Cross or something similar, and doing disaster relief, and so kind of helping others and using my skills as an engineer, but also my love of being involved with people and helping people, and so kind of merging those two together to kind of create a job and a career path that I really enjoy and that I'm proud to be in and a part of. So that's kind of my what I would do if I wasn't afraid to fail kind of thing.
Well, why do I have a sneaking suspicion that your future is blindingly bright? It's been a delight talking to you, Lucy. Along with Haley Cutler, Erica McKibben, Roxanne Hughes, thank you all. We look forward to the 8th over at the Mag Lab, and thank you all for coming on today. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee with Sawyer Vanderworth doing the button-pushing. Lydell Rawls back there, too. I'm Tom Flanagan, and thanks also to Kim Kelling Engstrom for helping get this all set up. We'll talk to you next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.